Hello, me. Meet the real me. In my misfit way of life, a dark black past is mine. Most valued possession. Hindsight is always 20/20. Looking back, it's still a bit fuzzy. I speak of mutually assured destruction. A nice story. Tell the readers, digest. If anyone out there can tell me what song I was just mimicking, you've got to be over 36 years old, and you're probably over 40 years old. I just came across some Megadeth. Do you guys remember Megadeth? Part of the Big Four. You know, that tour of like the last couple years, you know, the Big Four. Actually, maybe it was like 10, 15. I don't know when it was. It was a long time ago or it was recently. I don't really know. But it was four metal bands. It was Anthrax, Slayer, Metallica, and Megadeth. Now, Megadeth was like the edgier version of Metallica when they came out. Metallica got very groovy and slowed down and trendy and mainstream. Countdown to Extinction was a great record. It came out at the exact same time, if I remember right, as Metallica's Black album. And that's when I just got into metal. Me and my buddy Andy Raby, God rest his soul. He was like this fiery redhead dude. And his hair was fiery, but his personality was very, very fiery. To know Andy is to know his sense of mischief and anger, I would say. I don't want to be bigoted against redheads. I've just come across a few of them, and boy, they get fired up. I mean, that hair is kind of like nature's way of saying, stay the fuck out of my path, bitch. Andy was like partially responsible for me kind of getting better at guitar in my early days. We would sit around and kind of play Slayer and Metallica and Megadeth poorly, really. Because, you know, the thing about metal, it's not complicated musically. I mean, it's all kind of riffy. And it can be original music. It can be very unique. But a lot of it, it's just about speed and dexterity. So it's perfect for a young player just amped up on testosterone. And I remember one time he called me up at my grandmother's house. He's like, check this out, man. Because he got a Les Paul or something for Christmas. And it was a purple Les Paul. We were so stoked, man, because Slash played a Les Paul. And Slash was the bomb-ass shit, even if you were only a metalhead. I mean, I don't know. Slash brought the Les Paul guitar into the consciousness in the late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, Andy Raby called me up, and he played me some crazy-ass lead, and it didn't make any sense. I don't think it was that good. I don't even know. I just remember it being very, very fast and me being kind of impressed by it. And that was, you know, he was the metal man. I mean, we would just hotbox his car and headbang. I mean, it was like a cartoon. He had this, like, white little race car looking thing. I'm going to take this gum out. Rule number one, don't chew gum while doing podcasts. I feel like Dave Grohl chews a lot of gum when he's doing everything. I also feel like John Lennon, when he did All You Need Is Love, broke all the rules when he chewed gum during that taping. It was a big deal back then. Anyway, I'm not going to chew gum today. I'm not that kind of rebel. But, getting back to Megadeth, I don't know. Right before I came on the air here, I just had this song, Sweating Bullets, and Hello Me, Meet the Real Me, in my misfit way of life. I'll tell you, I did actually get a chance to see Megadeth, and I saw them in 1994, I believe, or 1993, maybe, and Stone Temple Pilots opened up, and about four or five of us went down to Jacksonville to watch these bands, and I was so stoked to see Megadeth. And I remember, like, headbanging so hard. Like, back then, it was a thing. I mean, it would be really funny. It probably still is a thing. I just haven't been to a lot of metal shows.
But everybody was banging, like in earnest, like you banged your fucking head, you know? And I remember these two dudes that reminded me, now that I think back on it, of like Nick Menza, who is the Megadeth drummer, kind of like possibly like Italian gentlemen with like tank tops. I don't remember them having a gold chain, but I do remember them both having like really long curly black hair, and they were just banging so ferociously and so victoriously. It was amazing. It's such a feeling of unity with these guys and my friends. And I banged so hard, my neck hurt so bad the next morning. But so anyway, it was kind of a crazy night. There were about four or five of us. And after we were done, we all bought these nice new Megadeth t-shirts. And we got to the parking lot, and these two fucking rednecks, like, there were four of us, but these guys were older, you know? And they started fucking with us, you know? And they wanted my buddy Tim's t-shirt, I remember. And God damn it, what happened? They wanted my buddy Tim's t-shirt, and the rest of us were just kind of freaked out to punch them in the fucking face, to tackle them, to do anything. It was just like an argument over a t-shirt. I remember there was like a scuffle, and there was people running around a car. And we were about 16, 17 years old. These two old Heshers were fucking with us, trying to get our t-shirts. To be honest, we should have just turned on them and kicked the shit out of them. We didn't, though. It was a fail. It was a miserable, dirty, miserable fail. And either way, halfway through the confrontation, these cops came and put these motherfuckers in the back of a cop car. Apparently, they had been watching the whole time. And they saw what was going on, and they carted them off. They carted these motherfuckers off. So that was my memory of a Megadeth show. And that was during the Countdown to Extinction tour. Like I said, Stone Temple Pilots opened up. I never heard of Stone Temple Pilots, but they were very good. They weren't a metal band. They weren't even that hardcore. They were pretty much grungy alternative music. But I remember liking it quite a bit. And from there, going off and buying their record, which was called Core. And I was working at McDonald's at the time. I was flipping hamburgers. I had left my stepdad's restaurant because me and him did not get along. Like, I left the family, quote-unquote, establishment to work at McDonald's for less pay so I could get away from my stepdad, who I love, you know. Yeah, he's a great guy. We get along splendidly. We really understand it and enjoy each other's company, I think. Anyway, I enjoy his company at least. I can't speak for him at this point. But then it was bad. It was bad, man. We almost came to blows a couple times. I remember like having, you know, being this like young Hesher, 16 years old, and having a joint behind my ear, you know, and him coming out and somehow getting pissed and slapping the hat off my head, and me just like in a huff, walking out of the house, super pissed off, stomping out of the house, and then getting in the car and realize, holy shit, my fucking joint is gone. Fuck. So I had to go back in there and play it cool and look around for this joint, and it had flown like under the couch cushion or something. So anyway, he never saw the joint, but I grabbed my joint and went along my merry stoned way. Another time, he was very hip to things, and I came home at like 4 in the morning because I couldn't find a place to crash. And my mom used to have this rule of, if you don't come back, it was a ridiculous rule, really. Sometimes parents just make strange fucking rules. And they're meant to manipulate, but really it's just bad. Like, so basically my mom told me if I didn't come home at midnight, I couldn't come home. So basically some nights I was out past midnight, I had nowhere to go, and I just had to sleep in the car. This was one of those nights. I had tripped on acid. I think it might have been 4th of July. It was late. I tried to go sleep on the beach, and after I dropped my buddy Steve off at his house, he was being a dickhead. He wouldn't let me crash there for some odd reason. To be honest, it probably wouldn't have worked out because you can't really sleep on acid. Anyway, I went to the beach, St. Augustine Beach, and I sat there and I smoked a couple cigarettes probably. And I remember a cop came up and kind of like, in the middle of the night, he parked behind me, didn't have his lights on, came up to the door of the car. And I couldn't get the window open because I couldn't find my keys. And as like I was scrounging around, rustling around, found my keys, and as soon as I could, like, get to the ignition to turn the key to open the window, he turned around and left, didn't even speak to me. It was very strange. I don't know if he didn't see me. I don't know. Maybe he thought I had a girl in there. That's doubtful. Or maybe, I really don't know. Why the hell would a cop come up to your door in the middle of the night and not say anything, right? So anyway, that night I went home. I said, fuck it, I'm going to go home. My mom's going to have to deal with it. So I get home. Shit, I know I just told you it was like 4 in the morning, but it must have been more like 6 in the morning because they were up and I had to work the next day. And I was still tripping pretty fucking hard. And I walk in, my mom gave me some shit or something. My stepdad comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, let me ask you something. How much acid does a guy like you do in the span of a week? And I go, huh? What's acid? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm tripping. This motherfucker is on to me. But somehow I still thought like he wasn't on to me somehow. He was bluffing, like he thought I was on acid, but I was going to play stupid. And I went to work that day. And I remember just being in super slow motion and still tripping and just... I remember looking up at these pink, almost like cherry blossom. And I don't know if there's cherry blossom trees in St. Augustine, but just walking through the parking lot, picking up trash or taking something to the dumpster very casually. You know, there wasn't a lot expected of me. I was pretty young. And my stepdad owned the place. Anyway, I remember looking up and just being like, oh God, the colors, man, look how beautiful those pink, beautiful orchids. It's not an orchid. It's pink, beautiful flowers. Look how gorgeous. And so, I don't know, man. So Megadeth kind of, me talking about Megadeth, just this whole flood of memories, everything came back. I remember going on the, you know, come to think of it, me and Megadeth and acid had kind of a nice little relationship. And one time we were up all night and the sun was coming up and we had been tripping and like putting cigarettes out on our hands. And what's very strange, we were putting cigarettes out on the palms of our hands and there was no marks. It was like it was like mind over matter. It was like these old school religious people, are they monks? I don't know whoever did that. They would walk over coals. It was like we were that, it was like we could legitimately put cigarettes out on our skin and never feel it. And I remember just being amazed, like pushing a lit cherry into the palm of my hand and pulling it away. And there was just a little red mark. Just a little red mark. So I don't know what's up with that. Anyway, how you guys doing? This is the Shit Show with J-Bo. Thank you for listening. Thank you for traipsing down memory lane with me. I have a new celebrity crush. I have to be honest. I don't agree with her politics. But I don't know much about socialism and communism. I don't. It seems like you're ripping off people to give to other people. It's a Robin Hood style philosophy. It seems like there's a lot of emphasis on the rich paying their fair share. And I agree, the rich should pay their fair share. But it's all relative. If I make $10,000 in a year, I pay a small amount of taxes. If a very rich person makes $10 million a year, they make a large amount of taxes. Sorry, they pay a large amount of taxes. It's all relative, right? So they are kind of paying their fair share. But maybe there's tax cuts to the rich. Are there tax cuts to the rich? Is that ethical? Is that moral? I mean, if the top 5% pay 90% of the country's taxes, should they get a tax break? Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's beautiful. I mean, that's all I have to say. Like, she is... I don't know. You know, everybody's obsessed with her. And I guess I am a little bit. She is... she did this dancing video. Have you guys seen the dancing video? And there was a big fake controversy. And as soon... as I heard it, I knew the score because people are attempting to create reality, right? And it's very subtle. You got to watch very closely. But when you go, when you hear the headline, the GOP attempts to smear a wonderful young woman just because of dancing, well, you know, they're completely out of touch, or you know, whatever. The fact is, I don't know that I'm conservative, but I am a Trump fan. I know, for better or for worse, you know. It's a little hard sometimes, but mostly he's right on. I mean, the fact that he's attacked 24/7 for idiotic reasons, I mean, makes people want to back him more. You guys know that, right? Like, the more you attack him, the more his support, you know, kind of gets stronger and stronger because it's ridiculous. So Ocasio-Cortez came out with a video, and she's a gorgeous girl, man. And she seems really smart. And congratulations to the congresswoman, you know. But there is no controversy. The GOP is not trying to smear her. Also, the major networks planned. They decided that they will air a speech of his tomorrow. And the way everybody frames it is like, all major networks set to air Trump's speech. Like, brace yourself, because we know how dangerous and how full of shit this guy is. Here's the news flash. It's a president doing an address. It's tonight. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday night. Why wouldn't they fucking air it? You know, it's so bizarre to me. You know, you guys don't... Do you want to hear about politics? I don't fucking know about politics, really. I have some opinions. But all of a sudden, when I start talking about it, I get a little bit self-conscious. I start putting myself in you guys' shoes, listening. I get up in my head about things. And all of a sudden, you know, it could be some kind of mind control device that's picking up on my wavelength of thought. And it is sucking the idea out of my head. Now, I used to get a little bit political back at Hollow Earth Radio in Seattle. And I would think the same thing. I would start talking about politics, and all of a sudden I would just shut down. I didn't know what to say. I felt fucking dumb. I felt airheaded. I felt self-conscious. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe there's so much resistance to kind of, let's say, thinking outside the norm. There's so much, like, let's call it partisan bullying, right? Like, social media, you know, take it from me. I very rarely sound off on Facebook, on Twitter, occasionally. And every time I do it, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, there's this strange feeling. And then I just have to, like, think about it all day and be like, well, I hope they don't fucking hate me. I hope they don't fucking, like, kick me off this platform. Or I hope, you know, I don't lose any friends over it. It's bizarre. And that's where the censorship really gets you. It's not so much like I'm free to say anything I want, and everybody is. But when you see it just come down the line, like people like Alex Jones and Gavin McInnes, and just these people who, you know, Milo Yiannopoulos, these people who, if you listen to, there might be a few slightly absurd things they say, or possibly majorly absurd. I mean, they're fine to say it. They should be able to say it, right? But if you actually listen to these people that have gotten banned, like demonetized, like they can no longer make a living at what they really would like to do and what a lot of people like me enjoy. Like, I enjoy listening to Gavin McInnes. You know, he's the Proud Boys guy. I don't know. I haven't looked into his entire past. Maybe he said some controversial things. I mean, I know he said some controversial things, but maybe he said some horrible things that merit him getting kicked off. But anything I've ever heard seems to make sense or is just really fucking funny. Do you know what I mean? Alex Jones is a maniac. But nothing I've heard him say a few things that were a little bit over the line. But for him to be banned, the thing is, it's the intimidation. You see these people being banned. You see these horrible, you know, you see the Democrats yelling about impeachment to a president who's actually done fairly well the last 2 years. It's like there's this massive machine against the right, and it's so obvious, but It's disgusting. But it intimidates everybody else from speaking their mind. And it just furthers the notion with the biased, with Google and with Twitter and Facebook. I don't know. Just look it up. Look the difference between Bing and Google. Let's go ahead and just type in Sandy Hook hoax, Sandy Hook conspiracy. Even if you're just interested in seeing what the fucking hubbub is about, Bing will allow you to watch a ton of videos on it, on both sides of this thing. Google will not. Go ahead and try it. Google will not, because it's unfit for human consumption or something, you know? And censorship's a huge thing with me. I'm sorry. Like, it's massive. I don't give a fuck what you think. I don't care what anybody thinks. But the media should try to be objective. They should be objective. I understand that it never is, but they should be objective. I don't care what you think. I just want something presented to you, like, just objectively, not with this crazy spin, not when Donald Trump does it, it's like Hitler. I mean, when you compare Donald Trump to Hitler, and even as a Democrat, if you're allowing people to compare Trump to Hitler, it's like, how disrespectful is that to Jewish people? I mean, Trump's a president of 2 years. There's no concentration camps. There's no, he's not trying to perform genocide. He's not trying to take over the world. He's actually pulling troops out of places. Do you know what I mean? He's pulling troops out of Syria. Didn't he just pull troops out of Syria? Trying to pull people out of Afghanistan? He's like opposite of Hitler. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I just don't get it. I think anybody who backs that kind of rhetoric weakens this country 100%. Whatever, man. You know, my phone is just going. I'm going to turn this shit off. I'm sorry. Anyway, that's what I think. Sorry. If you don't like it, then don't listen, you know. If you don't think I have a point, don't fucking listen. That's cool. Or keep listening. I don't know. I'd like it if you kept listening, actually. Maybe there's something about this show that entertains you. I hope so. I love doing it. I hope to expand one day. I hope to get, you know, people that want to put commercials on my show. I mean, although I have to probably get less political to do that, unless I want to sell, you know, bunkers and storable food and gold and diabetes socks or something like that. So what else? How the hell have you all been? I had an interesting situation today, and it's funny. It's kind of the air we breathe. It's kind of political. And I'm in Cumberland, Maryland, right tonight. And I was going to do this thing. It's called DoorDash. Now, DoorDash is something where you get an app, and if you want some food, let's say you're at home and you're stoned and you're drunk and you don't want to drive. I don't get stoned or drunk hardly ever. But if you were and you said, I want a burrito supreme and a Taco Bell Grande and Mexi Melt and large Diet Coke and some Mexi Fries, two beefy cheesy burritos, and this, that, and the other from Taco Bell. And next door, there's a Pizza Hut, and we're going to get some of that stuff there, too. Some of that really, really good. Speaking of Pizza Hut, I went to a gym tonight, the one that says no judgment. And, like, if you're running too hard or you're making sounds or you slam down weights, they'll kick you out. Or if you have, like, a tank top on or if you're a bro, it's really fucking weird. They were serving pizza at the gym. On Mondays, they serve pizza. I had a slice. And then I went in and, like, ran for 5 minutes to work off the slice. It's funny. Anyway, so DoorDash. You order stuff offline, and they bring it to your house. And it's just independent contractors like myself, you know, have a hot bag. And I got this hot bag, and I'm supposed to go ahead and go grab the food and bring it to the house. Now, tonight, I was going to do my very first DoorDash, and it's pretty decent money. It's like, you can earn, I don't know, $15 to $30 an hour. I mean, you're not going to work 8-hour shifts, but you're going to work a few shifts and, a few hours, and you'll do okay. But tonight, I talked to somebody at lunchtime at work, and I said, I want to change the location so I can dash tonight. Basically, it doesn't matter, but I was scheduled in, like, Greensburg, but now I wanted to do it for Cumberland tonight. They said, okay. And I talked to this guy for 20 minutes, and he kept going, Cumberland, Cumberland, Texas, Cumberland. I kept saying Cumberland, Maryland, Cumberland, Maryland, Cumberland, Maryland. And at some point, I had to go back to work, and I said, hey, can you just deal with this? Can you just deal with this? And just put me in Cumberland. I guess that was my bad. I couldn't stick with him, right? Can you just get me my starting point in Cumberland? He said, okay, no problem. So I get back on my phone when I get off work at 4:30, and I say, oh, cool, there's a Cumberland. There's a little thing on my app. I can hit Cumberland, and that means I start to dash. I start to go door to door and deliver this food for this money, because I'm trying to pay for recording time, basically. I got a bunch of money I'm trying to pay. I want to save some extra money. If I can get like $400 extra dollars a month, I'm stoked, right? That'll put me over the top. That'll allow me to save a little bit, even if I sacrifice a few of my nights. No big deal. So I get there, and long story short, I can't dash tonight. I can't DoorDash because it's Cumberland, Indianapolis. And it turns out the guy I was talking to was from the Philippines. I love Filipino people. I got Filipino friends. I've played with a shit ton of Filipino musicians. I think they're brilliant people. If I'm not mistaken, Filipinos are like Spanish mixed with Asian of some sort. That's the rough of it. And anyway, I don't know. They seem to be very artistic, very nice. I've dated Filipinos. So I was pissed off because the person on the other end of the line kept saying, you know, Maryland, Cumberland. Like, they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. And why would this company farm out for cheap labor another country? You know, that's nothing to do with they could. I mean, look, I even told. So anyway, I called again, and I said, where are you guys located? She's like, the Philippines. I said, well, that's great. You know, so basically I was pissed off. It had nothing to do with Filipinos. It had nothing to do with being a racist. I'm not a racist. I don't think I am. Whoever admits to being a racist, right? But so I was just in a huff. I couldn't DoorDash, man. I couldn't make my money, and I'd kind of schedule my night around doing that. I'd been here at the house. Here in Cumberland, I wanted to go home to Pennsylvania, but I decided if I could make money, I would stay. So anyway, I couldn't do it. Not the end of the world, but I was pissed off. And I texted my girlfriend, and I said, these motherfuckers in the Philippines don't even know how to properly, you know, pronounce it. Not even pronounce. It's more like they had no concept of cities and states. It was bizarre. It was like somebody clearly, like, their second or third language was English. And that's brilliant, right? Like, I wish I knew a couple languages. I know a little bit of Spanish, and it's nothing to them personally. I had an issue with DoorDash farming out cheap labor to any country. I don't care if it would have been Sweden, a white country, you know. Well, used to be white. Now it's quite mixed. English, Irish, you know, but I called them motherfuckers, you know, and it was really those motherfuckers, and had nothing to do with the race. And she says, you're being racist. That was the thing. That was the whole point of the story. Is she called me, she says, you're being racist. And I just had to defend myself. I don't understand. How is that racist? That's an old white proverb, isn't it? How is that racist? But really, like, how is that racist? It could have been a white person in the Philippines. I doubt it. But, you know, white people do exist in the Philippines. I don't know for sure that was a person that was a different race. You know, there are people in America that aren't white. It's a melting pot. They still speak good English. Hell, they might even have a southern accent if they're Asian or something like that. So the point is, I might be an asshole, and I might be impulsive with my language, but I wasn't being a racist, and I got super pissed. And we were just back and forth, and what I should have done is, like, just gone, yeah, sweetie, I'm a fucking racist, LOL, whatever. But what I did was try to attempt to explain myself, you know, and be like, look, I'll call anybody any motherfucking thing I feel like it if it's over the phone because, you know, I'm not racist. I would be racist if I knew that they were a different race, and I, because of that, I would take it easy on them and not say shit. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just said like I was actually being anti-racist, and she was kind of being racist by making me, you know, change, attempting for me to change my language regarding somebody just because they happen to be from a different country and possibly a different skin shade. So that was my evening. And, you know, then I went and I worked out and I ate that pizza I told you. And it's been a weird night. I worked my ass off. Where I work, I grow marijuana. We're repopulating the room with these marijuana strains in 2 days. So a lot of cleaning today. I put up a bunch of reflective mylar surfacing on the entire room, so it's like this mirror on all the walls. It's a massive room, holds 450 plants, like it's, you know, a quarter of a football field or something, and maybe not that big, but yeah, I taped all this shit up. It was a good time. What else? What's today, the 7th? I don't know, man. Is that it? Is that it for the shit show? How long? I hate to be like, hey, man, how long we been doing this? But I got to see how long we been doing this. 31 minutes. I mean, I'm always trying to go for at least a half hour. Sometimes I like to go more. Do you guys feel like this is a challenging thing to do, to just vapidly, most of the time anyway, talk for 30, 40 minutes? Do you guys ever think about like what that's like? Could you do it? Do you do it? Do you guys have a podcast? You ever thought about starting a podcast? I think it's a phenomenal medium. As you all probably know, I'm a big fan of Ariel Pink. And recently he's done a couple podcasts. Now, I actually got to do a podcast with Ariel Pink. I got to interview that guy. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, he's an interesting guy. We talked for an hour. It's weird the way my mind works. I just go, oh, man, it probably sucked. It just fucking sucked. Like, I just think there was nothing to it. But we talked for an hour, and there's a lot exchanged between two human beings in an hour. And go check it out. And I did a bunch of other cool interviews with bands. Lately, I've been just kind of doing my own thing. Like, this is what I've been doing. I enjoy it. Just because it's really easy, I don't have to organize. I've been so busy that this is almost all I can handle, you know? I don't have to do research on somebody's music. I don't have to call them. I don't have to voice record. I can just sit here on an evening in an hour and just fucking talk directly to the people. Just cut through. Cut through everything directly to you. Podcasting is a phenomenal medium. I know I just said that 5 minutes ago, but Ariel Pink has two podcasts that have come out the last week, and I would highly recommend them. The dude is just, he's so interesting. He's so much himself. He's so kind of just uniquely intelligent, I think. And he goes off on tangents that are really funny. Like, he did this one He did two podcasts. One was with one, go check out. It was on Talkhouse podcast, and the other one was called Are we seriously still talking about this or something like that? But just go to iTunes and type in his name for podcasts, and you'll find it. But he was talking about being directed in a video, and he went on for like 20 minutes on how he hates doing his own videos because he hates a director telling him what to do. He feels like the director's trying to like penetrate his shell to get a good performance, and like trick him into doing this thing, and he totally resents it. It's really funny. I would go check it out. If you guys don't know Ariel Pink, I don't know. I think he's important. People have compared him to David Bowie. He doesn't sing as well as Bowie, but he's as interesting as Bowie, perhaps. And he's very much indie, like kind of independent, like not classically trained. He just just kind of can't help himself, and he just does this amazing, this, I don't know, I started listening to him on his first record for the label 4AD, and he's had four records since I started listening to him, and each record is great. Like, I can't think of a single song that sucks. There's probably a couple songs that maybe, like, there's this song called Driftwood on Mature Themes I'm not crazy about, but yeah, okay, each record might have one or two that don't speak to me, but they don't suck, you know? They're great. I don't know many artists who have put out four records that are great in a row, you know? And before that, he did a whole bunch of lo-fi shit, really lo-fi, just kind of bizarre shit. Like, if you aren't used to that, if you aren't initiated into lo-fi recording and whatnot, you might not be able to listen to it, you know? It's so interesting. He's like, I think he's about 40 years old, and he's my age, just a little bit younger. And I don't know, as I get older, it's very interesting. I'm 43, and I just keep kind of doing my thing. I still have aspirations to do music, although I'm working a full-time job. Is that crazy? Is that stupid? I mean, should you just stop at some age? I mean, should you really? I mean, I don't know. I feel like if I just quit doing music, a part of me would die, really. And I will never stop. I can't stop, won't stop. Why would I stop? I love it. I just went to the studio and recorded four songs, and it's weird. Like, I tell people, they're like, oh yeah, cool, man. Maybe I'll check it out. But to me, it's like, it means a lot. It fucking means a lot to me. And I don't know if my age, if people assume that I've been diminished in like my powers as a songwriter, or if I ever had any in the first place. I honestly think the music I'm making now is as good as anything I've ever did. Is that what everybody always thinks? But they just, you know, they missed their window, and they come back, and they weren't part of the zeitgeist, you know, but they weren't part, you know, like Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins, or like Michael Jackson. When they try to do a comeback, they wonder why the audience doesn't love them anymore. And it has less to do with them than it does. They had a moment in time. They were part of the zeitgeist, and it must be hard, right? But I never had my moment in time. I never was part of the zeitgeist, so maybe it is yet to come. You know, I hope so. That'd be cool. I don't even care if, like, I'm not trying to be a pop star. Although, with the right amount of makeup and hair gel and cowboy boots, I could probably pull it off. You know, it would be an obscuring feature. Like Joey Ramone, right? He was a really kind of ugly dude. He's great. But, you know, he had a disease of some sort. He was a phenomenal singer. So he just kept his hair and his face, and he looked like a rock and roller, you know? He was bizarre looking, though, man. Such a special guy, such a beautiful soul. So I don't know. I'm going to shop around this demo, though. I promise you that. I'm going to shop it around to Get Hip Records. I keep feeling like Get Hip might put it out, and I don't know why I feel that way. On one hand, I don't know, like, are there other labels I'd rather have put it out? Who the fuck knows? But I know that the guy I'm recording with is in with the Get Hip people. So that's kind of the deal. When you want to sign to a label, sometimes you want certain people to record it. You know, it's just, it's a certain sound the label has, perhaps. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know that, like, Sub Pop, if you got recorded by Randall Dunn, who is a great producer, and I actually knew him very early on and got to visit his recording studio before he was anything, and 20 years later, he's like one of the hottest kind of death metal, melodic, slow, fucking radical pop producers that's ever come out of the Northwest. He just put out a solo record. Check it out, Randall Dunn. His studios are called, I think it's, is it Aleph Studios? Maybe I'm just pulling that out of my ass. I think it's Aleph Studios, yeah. A-L-E-P-H. But anyway, if you wanted to get signed to Sub Pop and you had things recorded by Randall Dunn, it would be like a foot in the door. So I'm getting my shit recorded by this guy named Pete Trevere out of Youngstown, Ohio, and the guys at Get Hip Records recommended me. And this guy at Get Hip Records seems to put out like slightly older artists. He's not an ageist. His protege is this guy named Zach Keim. And Zach Keim is like just he's a total rock star. You know, he's like perfect looking, really great singer, just drives the chicks fucking wild, man. But I wouldn't mind being on that label. It'd be pretty cool. Once again, I have no idea if I have any chance of getting on a label. I do think my songs are good. I do think the players we got on them are very convincing in what they do. I think they fleshed out the songs well. If the production goes my way, who knows? I could do it, man. I could do it. And all I'm really looking for is to put out a record. It would be enough to put out a record on a label, you know? After that, who knows? But if somebody goes, hey, man, you record a song and... Or you record a record, we'll put it out, or we'll help you record it. Because I've recorded four songs, and I have absolute faith in my vision before they're actually done. Who knows? When they're done, I might hate them and have to start all over. But at this point, I hope they're really great. I think they will be. And I'm just going to tell people, hey, if you like what you've heard, then go ahead and rest assured that I have 12 more songs exactly as good as that. Exactly as good. And you're looking for, you know, honestly, this record's probably taken me 10 years to write, but all the songs are in my head. I could probably whip out two records right now. The guy in Oasis, I heard that somebody came and saw their band play and loved it, and he had to basically talk the record label owner into signing them by saying, look, I can write this stuff like nothing, like I've got tons of material. And then he had to go write a record, you know. So I was thinking about how people bullshit people in the music industry, and how you always, like, you'll hear about the Black Keys or something, who are a great band, who are, you know, they'll have some hit, and they'll be like, oh yeah, man, we just wrote that hit, like, it was an idea I had at lunch, and by dinner time, it was this hit. It's like, really? Like, most people can't write a hit, but you wrote it in, you know, half a day, or it just came to you, you know, is that true, or is that bullshit, you know? Anyway, what else? I don't know, man. I think that's about it. I think you guys are totally radical for getting through this with me. And stay tuned next week. I'm really glad to be back on track. I'm going to get this out Monday night. It'll be up Tuesday morning. So that's going to be the deal. Hopefully every Tuesday from now on. I was so busy. I was barely hanging on. There was a couple weeks where I was like, oh my God, am I going to do this podcast this week? Oh my God, I can't. And then I think I put one out on Thursday at the latest, which is... I want to keep it consistent. Tuesdays are the day. So, hey, show me some love if you guys are listening. If you like it, leave me a like, leave me a comment, say something, man. Don't be those hipsters in the back of the room that just leave right when the show's over, and nobody ever knows you were there. Because I see the downloads. I don't know who's listening. It might be some of my close friends and family. Is it? Who is out there? Who is listening? I want to know. Anyway, this is The Shit Show with J-Bo. Have a wonderful afternoon and or morning or night or whatever you're doing. I don't know. I love you all for listening, and we'll talk soon. See you next week. Bye. Welcome to The Shit Show, baby. Welcome.